Daniel chapter 8. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, even to me, I Daniel, after that which appeared to me at the first. Well, when Daniel says, this vision appeared even to me, yes, to me, I think you see a humility there, that he's saying, look, who was I that I should be used to be the mouthpiece of God for all these wonderful visions, even to me? Peter, in the New Testament, says something similar when he says that he saw a vision and it came even to me. And this is how we should be in the preaching of the gospel, that even I, yep, even to me, God would use someone as insignificant and obscure as myself in order to spread his word. I saw in the vision. Now it was so that when I saw, I was in the citadel of Susa, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision, and I was by the river Ulai. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward, and no beasts could stand before him, neither was there any who could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and magnified himself. As I was considering, behold, a male goat came from the west, over the surface of the whole land, and didn't touch the ground. That is, he came very quickly. This is talking about Alexander the Great of Macedon. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. He came to the ram that had the two horns, which I saw standing before the river, and ran on him in the fury of his power. I saw him come close to the ram, and he was moved with anger against him, and struck the ram, and broke his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled on him, and there was none who could deliver the ram out of his hand. The male goat magnified himself exceedingly, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. So, in all this you see human strength. Human horns, leaders, nations, empires, and yet they all come to nothing. They magnify themselves, become strong, and then they're broken. And this is the whole message of the vision Daniel saw, that Nebuchadnezzar saw in Daniel chapter 2, that the empires come and they go. It's the same with chapter 7, the various beasts that arise, they come and they go. And this is the overall impression, that man arises and appears so strong and powerful that this situation will last forever, and then it doesn't. And it's all to lead up to the fact that God's kingdom will come upon this earth and will last forever. So this great strong horn, who was Alexander the Great, is broken. And in the place of it, there came up four notable horns toward the four winds of the sky. This is talking about the four generals that took over from Alexander. Out of one of them came forth a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the glorious land, Israel. It grew great even to the army of heaven, and some of the army and of the stars it cast down to the ground and trampled on them. Yes, it magnified itself even to the prince of the army, and it took away from him the continual burnt offering, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. The army was given over to it, along with the continual burnt offering, on account of disobedience. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it did according to its will and prospered. Then I heard a holy one speaking, I think that's an angel, and another holy one said to that one who spoke, how long shall there be the vision concerning the continual burnt offering and the abomination that makes desolate, to give both the sanctuary and the army to be trodden underfoot? Well, one angel asks another, how long is this going to go on for? So you have a bit of an insight into how the angels are, that they're talking to each other, asking each other questions, etc. And Peter talks about things which the angels desire to look into. And we have a bit of a picture there, I think, of how we will be, because we're told that we shall be made like the angels to die no more. So we are going to become, as it were, like the angels. And that doesn't necessarily mean, therefore, that in the kingdom of God we shall know everything. Even Jesus, who has God's nature, he's been exalted, He said about the time of his return that nobody knows that time, not the Son, not the angels, but only the Father. And we won't therefore just be all-powerful robots. We will have the opportunity of growth and of understanding, etc., which to me is far more attractive than us just being sort of eternal robots. So this one angel asks the other, how long is this going to be? And I wondered if that angel that asked that question was sort of Daniel's guardian angel, because I think we do all have an angel that represents us. Remember, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, the psalm says, and you think of how Peter was delivered by an angel, and then he comes and knocks on the door when the disciples are all praying for him. And Rhoda sees that it's Peter, and she runs inside and says, hey, Peter's outside. And they say, well, he can't be, he's in prison. It must be his angel. In other words, they all believed in guardian angels, and I think that is a correct idea. You do meet it now and again in the scriptures. So this angel that asks the other one, well, how long is this going to go on for? I think that this angel was maybe sort of speaking on Daniel's behalf, because that's obviously what he wanted to know. And the other angel said to me, to 2,300 evenings and mornings, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. It happened when even I, Daniel, again you see his humility, had seen the vision, that I sought to understand it. So you see, that's why I say that I think that the angel who asks the other angel for more information and what on earth it means is sort of Daniel's angel. So he asks to understand, and behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. Again, it's an angel, but angels appear like men. You think of how angels visited Abraham and Lot. They appeared as men to young men that were there at the Lord's resurrection by the empty tomb. They were angels. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. But he said to me, understand, son of man, for the vision concerns the time of the end. Now, as he was speaking with me, I fell into a deep sleep with my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. That might be as if Daniel was having a sort of figurative death and resurrection. As if to say, yep, these things are going to come true, ultimately, around the time when Jesus comes back and you're resurrected from the dead. He said, see, I will make you know what shall be in the latter time of the indignation, for it concerns the appointed time of the end. The ram which you saw that had the two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia. The rough male goat is the king of Greece, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. As for that which was broken, in the place where four stood up, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not with his power. In the latter time of their kingdom, when the wicked have come to the full, a king of fierce appearance and understanding mysteries shall stand up. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall be very destructive and shall prosper and do his own will, and he shall destroy the mighty ones and the holy people. Well, again, it seems this is talking about a situation, as it says, in the time of the end, when the holy people, that could be Israel, natural Israel, or it could be them as well as us, the people of God, are going to be persecuted. Through his policy, he shall cause deceit to prosper, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. See how God always looks at the heart and how he always notices pride. And by peace, he will destroy many. This is similar to what you have when Paul says in Thessalonians that just before Jesus comes, there will be many saying peace and safety. A lot of talk about peace and then sudden destruction. He shall also stand up against the Prince of Princes. Well, that is Jesus. This individual, this Antichrist individual, is going to stand up in the last days, persecute God's people, and then challenge Jesus when he comes back. But he shall be broken without human hand. And that is, of course, just what you read there in Daniel chapter 2, when the stone, that's Jesus, that's cut out of the mountain without human hand, destroys the whole image of the kingdoms of men. The vision of the evenings and mornings, which has been told, is true, but seal up the vision, for it belongs to the time of the end. I, Daniel, fainted and was sick for some days. Then I rose up and did the king's business, and I wondered at the vision, but none understood it. I think why he was so sad and upset was because he realized that actually the kingdom of God was not going to come in his lifetime, that he was going to have to die and be resurrected. And of course, like all of us, he hoped that he would see the kingdom of God come in his lifetime, and he's told that no, it's not going to be the case, but you're going to be resurrected. And he's assured of that finally in chapter 12 at the end of the prophecy.